that Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, they just disagree on how.
We're gonna get across that wasteland, and we're gonna do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
Welcome back to the Rock Chalk Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Mitz. Welcome back to the final episode of Season 4 of the Rock Chalk Podcast. It's been, just over 3 years since I actually started the podcast. And, you know, it's been quite the ride. But before I get into all that sentimental kind of stuff, just wanted to get you guys over. We had been doing the last couple of episodes, kind of our favorite moments from both the football and the basketball season. This time we are going to be talking about our favorite moment that's not one of those two. The idea here being that, you know, there's a lot of different things that go on in this athletics department that are not football and basketball. And I wanted to make sure that we highlight some of that. You know, as those of you guys have been listening to the podcast since we started know, you know, we've talked women's basketball, we've talked volleyball, we've talked soccer, we've talked tennis. We are not afraid to talk about all the other programs and kind of everything else surrounding the athletics program as well. And so I wanted to make sure that we highlighted that because there was a lot that's happened this year, whether that's, you know, this academic year or in the last 12 months. And so without the ability to kind of jump into softball and baseball season like we normally would be doing at this time, I wanted to make sure that we went ahead and highlighted some of those things that have happened. So I won't take up too much more time here. So we'll just go ahead and get you guys right on over to the entire panel. And I've got Derek Knoll here again. Derek, what was your favorite moment that wasn't like football or basketball? So your favorite other athletic program moment for the year?
Okay, I'm gonna kind of take a tangent a little bit here, because back when I first started at Rock Chalk Talk several years back, doing some commenting and then writing some articles and doing some stuff, I really focused in on KU history stuff and older players and uniforms. So I'm gonna kind of go as a combo to those things and say that the thing I enjoyed most that's, you know, somewhat basketball related is, but not completely, it's just the fact that Kansas basketball went back to a retro uniform with the Circus Fund.
Circus Fund. I just knew you were going there.
I'm sorry. I don't probably have a ton to say on it, but those uniforms looked really good. Now, I don't think they chose the exact one I would have chosen. I would have chosen one in the later Collison years with the hoops underneath the arms and on the shorts rather than the red and blue piping down the side. But who cares? It looked so good. There was such a huge reaction from the KU faithful that they actually brought them back for that last game of the year. So for me, the non-sports related moment, even though it is a sports related moment, and I'm sorry to the non-revenue sports, but for me, that the one that really caught my attention was going back to that uniform from the Paul Pierce era, from, you know, the Collison era, from those 2003, you know, national title contender teams, those kind of ideas. They just look so sharp and they look good on the dudes now. And, you know, with the new tailoring, it's not as baggy and bulky and big. It just looked really good. And props to KU for, they always do a good retro. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. They're such a great uniform selection throughout the entire history of Kansas basketball and Kansas football for that matter, and Kansas baseball too, to be honest. But that's just a winner. I mean, that's when they were using that font for a long time. They won a national title in that font in the Manning years. They improved upon that in the Roy Williams era. And those just look really sharp, I thought. And props to KU for bringing them back another time when they didn't have to. You know, they're probably just doing it to sell uniforms at the beginning, but they've already sold those uniforms. But, man, it just looks so good you have to bring it back. So I hope that's kind of in the mix in the future, to be honest. Like, we're talking petty little things that they can do, and I think that would be really cool to have that in the mix as another choice.
Yeah, I definitely you know, I think we were all excited when we saw that come back, because we definitely, I have lots of good memories from that. And I know that there's a lot of people that really do. And so I was really excited to see those come back. I know we talked about it here on the podcast a couple times. You know, there was just quite a bit. I also think kind of you were talking about one of the very first things that you went ahead and actually did while you were here. I believe the very first article that you actually wrote for Rock Chalk Talk was dealing with uniforms. And I know the first big series you did was looking at alternate uniforms way back in like 2014. So yeah, there's a long history, which is why I knew you were going to do something uniform related, because you have a long history of being our uniform guy over at Rock Chalk Talk, which is a little niche thing that I think is kind of what helps, help move the site forward, and that we've got all these little random things that we like to talk about. And I know that I enjoy them every time that I read them. So you are definitely true to the persona you put out over there on Rock Chalk Talk.
Yeah, you got to be real, man. You got to live it. Inside joke, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. You live this. We're not going to swear on the podcast. So
there you go.
All right. Derek, thank you. Joined again by Scott Chasen, fog.net. 24/7 sports. Scott, what of the non-football, non-basketball moments kind of sticks out to you from this year?
From this year. Okay, so my question first to ask with this is, what are we considering the starting and end points of the year? Like, could I cheat and give like Gary Woodland some love, or are we sticking
so,
to, like,
so I was thinking months? I was thinking academic year, in terms of like the academic school year, but you know, if you wanted to kind of go KU adjacent, you know, like for example, one of our other guys was talking about like retro uniforms from the basketball team, which feeds completely into his brand and what he's done over on Rock Chalk Talk. But I think mainly it was to highlight something outside of, you know, KU basketball games or KU football games.
Yeah, well, I'll give you a memorable moment. I'm not sure this was the best moment. I'm certain it was not the best moment. But I think just a lot of what's been going on with the kind of KU administration, whether it's decisions about things like Miles to Go, giving, you know, behind the scenes look at KU football, and maybe, you know, that new video breakdown series with Bill Self, Self Perspective. You've got stuff going on in a courtroom. Obviously, the situation with David Beatty and Jeff Long, and what's going to kind of come of that. I think there's a lot that's happened, not necessarily on the field or on the court. Now, obviously, I at 24/7 Sports, I cover men's basketball and I cover the football team, but of course, I kind of watch some of the other sports. And, you know, I covered women's basketball for a while before I got to make the jump into full time being a beat reporter, you know, covering men's basketball and football at Kansas. And, you know, something I was really interested to see in was just how Brendan Schneider's teams progressed, because I don't think there's been as much winning as I think a lot of people expected and wanted and looked for, especially after, you know, Bonnie Henriksen never really finished in the top tier, or never finished in the top tier of the Big 12, but made those kind of a couple of memorable NCAA tournament runs, I believe Sweet 16 runs twice. And so, again, none of those are really positive things, I would say, so they're not necessarily a highlight. But those are the things that came to mind to me, at least of the most memorable, just from the year. Again, my scope being that what I do is I cover football and men's basketball. So hopefully that answer suffices.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of funny you talk about those Sweet 16 runs, because the first one of those was actually when I first really started getting involved with Rock Chalk Talk. I put fan posts up because I couldn't find anyone anywhere talking about the fact that KU was, you know, in the NCAA tournament and actually performing a whole lot better than I think a lot of people expected them to. So, you know, I will always have fond memories of those women's basketball teams, even though that was really kind of the only success that they've had at that point and since then. I think that kind of fits the bill. We weren't looking for anything specific there, but just wanted to make sure we weren't focusing solely on football and basketball, because, you know, here on the podcast, we do try to cover as many other sports as possible. You know, I almost personally cheated and was going to talk about the tennis team and winning the Big 12 before I realized that was actually last academic year and not this one. So, you know, there's been a lot of good moments in the last like year and a half or so, but trying to limit it to just the academic year, you know, when they've been cut short by all this pandemic stuff has kind of, I think, robbed us of some of the, you know, events that we were going to see and some of the content that we were going to have here that I was really looking forward to.
Yeah, I think track and field too. I mean, again, I wouldn't be the guy to go to on specifics for that, but I know that pretty much consistently year in, year out, there have been really impressive performers, and there's a guy, I don't know how to say his name, initials DG, I can give you that much, but...
Right. How about Shotgun?
Yeah, you got it. And again, not really my area, but you know, I've seen some of this stuff. You know, moving back to the women's basketball thing I brought up a second ago, first of all, because of the kind of season ending, the team finished above 500, which I thought was kind of interesting. But, you know, I think my first full season covering, I was with the University of Daily Kansan. This was a while back, but like Natalie Knight was there and Chelsea Gardner, who if I remember correctly, I covered her having a 20-point, 20-rebound game, and Asia Boyd, and there was just a lot of interesting talent. And when Brandon Schneider took over, he inherited a team without any seniors. And I think, you know, he brought in a couple of transfers. I think that kind of set everything back, maybe more than anticipated, because when you don't have, you know, eight people leaving and then you can bring in seven new people or whatever, like it kind of changes things. I think it took him longer than expected to kind of get going. And obviously things aren't there yet. And you know, look, I don't think it's a guarantee he'll remain the coach of Kansas for, you know, however much longer, but there were at least a couple wins that raised some eyebrows this year. I mean, they beat Texas. I know Texas was down, but anytime you beat Texas, that's kind of a big deal. It seemed to me from the outside looking in that this was their best season. So at least what I saw and what I noted, I would say that's worthy of credit.
All right. We got Kyle Davis, one of our writers over at Rock Chalk Talk, back for the miscellaneous kind of grab bag moments from the season. So we're wanting to make sure we take the opportunity to highlight, you know, non-men's basketball, non-football moments, because obviously we like to cover all the sports here on the Rock Chalk Podcast. We want to make sure that we give some love to some of those other moments that don't necessarily get highlighted when we are covering the two main sports, you know, in the fall season and the winter season. So Kyle, what is your best moment, or if you have a couple, you can even give me a couple moments for those, either those non-revenue sports or those other kind of, you know, KU related moments that aren't, you know, on the court basketball or on the field football.
Yeah. So one, it's not my top moment, but I'd have to call out, women's soccer team. I know, ESPN Plus, I initially got it for, football once they moved into knowing that it'd be on there for basketball. But I in my former life as a sports writer, I covered a lot of soccer. I've watched more KU women's soccer this year than I have most years, and that was a really good team and a really entertaining team to watch. And so I feel like they have to get a call out because I don't know how many people followed just how impressive they were, but they had a really great team with some seniors that are now leaving. Katie McClure is probably, I don't know where she fits all time, but she had as good of a recent career as anyone. So I wanted to give them a shout out. But the top moment that's just kind of across all of them, I'd probably have to say, you know, this is the cheesy one, but as a dad, my oldest son is four, just turned four. This is kind of his first year where he's really getting into sports and seeing sports on TV and Jayhawks, and took him to the homecoming parade and he got a high five from Big J and it made his year, and he's wanting to know when we can go back. But Doak became his favorite player. I never asked him how Doak spelled his name. We didn't want to get into that, but anytime Doak was on TV, he stopped. He would watch him. Anytime Doak dunked, he absolutely loved it. Like, that was the first time he's had a favorite player and really kind of to grasp that level. So just being able to then, you know, have him next to me on the couch watching the game, getting excited about Doak, like, how can you not pick that as your choice?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, and I think it's a good reminder. There's a lot of, you know, even if it's basketball and football, there's a lot of, you know, additional things kind of surrounding all of that. It's not just about what happens on the court, you know, being college athletics. This is about the family, the friends that we spend this time with, and kind of all the memories that we make because of that. Back to the soccer team, you know, it was Kansas' first Big 12 championship. You know, the first conference title that the soccer team has had. Absolutely phenomenal performance by them. And, you know, it was a weird tournament this year because I believe that that Kansas was the 5 seed, actually, coming into the tournament, and they ended up facing TCU in the championship game. So there was a lot of upsets in the tournament. You know, they actually had a double overtime win over Oklahoma State in the semifinals of the tournament. And so there was just a lot of excitement for the tournament, and you know, this team was a very good team throughout the year and just dropped some very key matches in the middle of the year, you know, which is why they ended up. They actually had the third best winning percentage in the conference, because they had some really, really big non-conference wins, and they just dropped some key decisions inside the conference that caused them to fall down that low. But they were easily one of the better teams, you know, and then they went ahead and went to the NCAA tournament, and had a very good performance in the NCAA tournament as well. You know, so like you said, they're losing a lot going into next year, but this was definitely a really great team. It was really enjoyable to watch. And like you said, ESPN Plus, you know, all the issues that we've had with it for the football or the basketball, you know, those obviously have been problems, but all the additional sports to get that excess coverage because of it has been absolutely phenomenal. I've been able to watch that, been able to watch, you know, where I was able to watch tennis previously, some women's basketball. There's just a huge opportunity to be able to follow a lot of these sports now, which I'm definitely grateful for. And like you said, you know, I've watched a whole lot more soccer this year than I had in any year prior. And, you know, my wife was giving me crap for all the extra sports I was watching, but, you know, I figured if I'm paying for ESPN Plus and get access to all these sports that I've been interested in but never been able to get coverage on, it's like I might as well start covering some of them by actually watching them, as opposed to trying to rely on someone else to bring that coverage. And so I highly recommend it for anybody.
Yeah. And if you're looking for, a reason to justify that $4.99 a month, you don't want to do it for just one football game, then, you know, give it a shot, watch a couple women's soccer games early next year, and I think you'll find that the investment is more worthwhile.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at IKEA-USA.com today.
10 years from today, Lisa Schneider will trade in her office job to become the leader of a pack of dogs. As the owner of her own dog rescue, that is. A second act made possible by the reskilling courses Lisa's taking now with AARP to help make sure her income lives as long as she does. And she can finally run with the big dogs and the small dogs who just think they're big dogs. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Learn more at aarp.org/skills.
And we're joined again by Jesse Newell, the Kansas City Star. Jesse, just wanted to ask you, in terms of, you know, kind of like a grab bag of all of the other things that have happened around KU athletics this year. So not football, not basketball. What is the one thing that jumps out to you the most, either memorable or kind of the favorite thing to happen throughout the rest of the athletic department this year?
Yeah, and I mean, I know this is going to have a few ties to KU basketball and football, so I guess it's a little bit tangentially related or sometimes even more so. But for me, it's just sort of I don't know if I want to say PR, but the off-the-court stuff and the perception of the program. And it's just been such an interesting year in that regard. And as a media member that covers it's really fascinating because you get to see – both sides of it, because I think a lot of times that when KU fans are talking about these sorts of things, they're on message boards or they're reading articles or in the comment section of the article, or they're talking with their buddies or their friends at the local bar. So there's obviously that perception of it. But yet obviously a lot of my job is on Twitter. So I'm also getting a national perspective of what's going on with Kansas and some of the things that happened over the course of the season. And obviously the things that happened as related to the notice of allegations that came out and the 5-level-1 violations that were levied against college or against the men's basketball team, including, you know, a coach responsibility charge against Bill Self. So dealing with all of that, I think is going to be sort of to me, the underlining of this entire 2019-2020 season. And then it's not all men's basketball, obviously. There's some football things in there. Jeff Long has had to come forward and make public statements. And we can even sort of tie, if we want to go back a couple months earlier than that, you can tie in the Silvio stuff. But to me, just how both sides have dealt with the perception of Kansas basketball as sort of, and also Kansas athletics and the program and the athletic director and the coach, as all this stuff has come out, I think that that has been a main theme. You know, whether fans want that to be the case or not, I mean, there has definitely become a national perception with KU through the notice of allegations, the response to that, Snoop Dogg, late night, the fight with K-State, obviously the ongoing football lawsuit with David Beatty. So all these things, and it's tough to quantify. You know what I mean? It's tough to know, like, hey, this dings KU in this PR way, or hey, KU has a good excuse, so it doesn't hurt them. But you know, one of the moments to me I always remember is KU had, there was Big 12 Media Day in Kansas City when the notice of allegations came out originally. I believe that was the day for Big 12 Basketball Media Day, and then they called a press conference at Allen Fieldhouse with Bill Self that night after we'd already gotten Bill Self and the players at Sprint Center. And that was where Bill Self pulled out the reading glasses, had the prepared script. And it's, you know, Bill Self, I speak to this, and everybody knows this who's watched him. I mean, he is so good in front of a camera. He is so smooth, so relaxed. If he wanted to be a politician, he'd win whatever race he wanted to, just because he is so quick on his feet. And it was just, after covering him for so long, it was just one of those moments where it was, it's a difficult spot to be in, because you have a statement prepared. You're supposed to read off of it. He says he can't say other things. You know, it's an ongoing investigation, all those sorts of things. But there's just an uncomfortable air in the room. You know what I mean? And that's just not something Bill Self usually is not in those situations where he is dealing with a spot or a position that has to make him uncomfortable like that. And so those sorts of moments, again, there's been a lot over the past year. I feel like there's been a lot of press conferences, a lot of response to the NCAA, a lot of response back. You know, the notice of allegations coming out was a big thing. So all of these things coming down, you know, I think those, if we want to throw the last 2 years in there, I think that that sort of playing out over time, and the national perception of that, and the maybe opposing fan perception to that, as opposed to the KU fan perception of that, I think that that's been a major storyline, and sort of where the program has sort of had to fight its way out in a lot of circumstances. Some things based on their own doing, and some things maybe based on not on their own doing. But obviously, there's been a fight to sort of protect the reputation of certain individuals and part of the program. And that's just kind of been part of the last 2 years as when it relates to both KU basketball and KU athletics overall.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would say that, you know, kind of the national Twitter reaction, you know, and it's weird because it's segmented essentially into four groups. You know, there's the overprotective KU fan, or, you know, KU homer, as you could call them. And I mean, they're easy to kind of brush off a little bit. You know, they want to essentially say, oh, well, none of this is a big deal at all. There's absolutely nothing to take from any of this. It's just people, you know, kind of persecuting Kansas for whatever reason. And it's easy to kind of brush them off as, you know, like, while they might make some good points in terms of, you know, things being overblown, you know, it's real easy to kind of bucket them into one group. There's the, you know, the opposing fans who are just happy that something is going on with Kansas for whatever reason. And again, similar sort of thing. Like, they might make some good points about how some things, you know, kind of show up, but obviously, you know, that everything that they say is going to be tainted by their hatred of the program. You know, and then there's the two groups, which are a bunch of national writers, who, you know, for whatever reason, just, you know, whether it's because they're, you know, alums of a rival university, or just do not like the Kansas program for whatever reason, you know, use the national stature that they have to really point out, you know, how horrible this is, you know, might have issues with particular guys, whether it's the athletic director or, you know, just, you know, don't really, for whatever reason, are, you know, talking about how such a big travesty this is, you know, how dirty the program's been. I'm not going to name any names, but I think everyone knows who I'm talking about here. But it, you know, it's one of those things, it's weird because those are the kind of people that have been talking about how widespread this is and how, you know, not big of a deal it should be, you know, in terms of the whole, you know, shoe companies that are, you know, dealing with, you know, sponsoring programs and all of that stuff. And, you know, but the minute it's, you know, the main example of it is a school that they happen to not particularly like, it's, you know, talking about how dirty the program is. But then there's kind of the objective national writer, and a few guys have done this really well. You know, I don't necessarily agree with everything that he said, but, you know, I listened to Gary Parrish and Matt Norlander over on the Ion College Basketball, and I think they've done a fairly good job of trying to talk objectively about, you know, what's going on. And while they personally disagree with, you know, these rules being enforced the way that they're trying to enforce them, you know, there are some objectively some issues with what's been going on. And, you know, Kansas could get some blowback from that. But in general, like, those that are looking at it objectively have been able to remain fairly objective, but it's a very, very small number of people. And I've been surprised how small that group of people is. I know I try to remain as objective as possible, obviously realizing that I am going to have some sort of pro-Kansas bias because I write for a Kansas site and I'm a KU alum and all of that. But I try to be as upfront about that as possible. And there's a bunch of people, I think, that do that fairly well. But it's been interesting to see those that don't handle that kind of responsibility very well and are able to allow their emotions or their personal biases to get in the way of the way that they're reporting on things.
Yeah, I think it's a matter of, in today's world, you know, I know for one, you know, you see something on Twitter and maybe you read the story, maybe you don't. But I feel like the KU fans that are involved with this, they get deep into the details and they can sort of brush aside some of these things and say that they're not serious because they are very ingrained. They know exactly what's going on and they're very, you know, deep into it. Whereas the national fan, all they're seeing is another Kansas headline. You know what I mean? So again, there's things in there. It just depends on your perspective. I think you're right with certain media members who understand kind of what's going on and national ones who can kind of have a big picture grasp of what's happening. They might have better perspective, but at the same time, you also have to understand that there are people out there that what they see is just the headlines. And if nothing else, we have to admit that Kansas over the course of the last 2 years has had a lot of headlines here and the sort of headlines that you don't necessarily want to have. And so for the casual layperson who is not reading every piece of the notice of allegations, who is not consuming every piece of story and trying to potentially explain it away, those people probably have a different thought of Kansas basketball and Kansas athletics than they did a couple of years ago. I think that's just a reality. And again, that goes with the territory when these sorts of things happen and these sorts of negative headlines pop up against you. That's just a fact. I think that's a fact of what's happened. And that's something that KU basketball in particular is dealing with. Obviously in recruiting, Bill Self has spoken about that. And that's why I think for them, the most important thing that can happen with all this, with the notice of allegations, whenever there's a resolution to it, is I would think they would love to have something that if they get a punishment, that they serve the time and that they can move on from it so that the narrative can be spun ahead and that you can move forward with the rest of your lives rather than continue to have this sort of gray cloud just sort of hover above you.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a matter of finding a punishment that they're willing to dole out, that you're willing to live with, and just get it behind you as fast as possible. So, all right, Jesse. Well, I appreciate that. I realize that we're going to get a huge grab bag, and it's going to be hard, I think, to look back on this year and not have that be one of the first things that you actually think about. So, Jesse, appreciate you joining me tonight.
All right, thanks.
And being joined again by Brennan Drzinski from 580 over in Topeka, also one of our contributors over at Rock Chalk Talk. And Brendan, to wrap up here, the your favorite or most memorable moment for something else in the athletic department. Basically, it can be anything, any of the other sports, you know, administration, any, you know, any of the stuff surrounding KU athletics, just not something that's on the football field or on the basketball court.
So technically, if we're following the rules to a T, I do guess that kind of takes Snoop Dogg out of the equation since it happened.
Oh, no. That is, you're actually the first person to mention it. I was wondering when someone was going to get to it.
All right, well, if we're going to go with that, then we've got to stick with Snoop Dogg. I can't believe I'm the first person to mention it. I will never forget being there in that moment, sitting up, media seats, we're in section 13A, and I'm watching the whole thing. And, you know, late night is, to me, from the fan perspective, you don't need to go to late night every year. I mean, it's cool if there's a big recruiting class. I remember when I was a freshman, it was the Andrew Wiggins class. It was the 13-14 season. So you've got Andrew Wiggins and Wayne Selden and that whole group. And it's, I mean, it was awesome. And as an 18-year-old, I was like, oh, my God, this is the coolest thing in the world. But then, you know, it's fairly similar year after year. And this year, it wasn't anything particularly unique until the very end. I mean, it was a family-friendly environment. Self gives a speech, and you get to see the players introduced. And, you know, Sylvia DeSosa coming out to freedom, bellowing over the speakers. I mean, that was the most controversial thing to start the night. And then Snoop Dogg brings out pole dancers and a money gun and a big, you know, drug paraphernalia and references and whatnot. It's just, like, I can't, like, you know what Snoop Dogg is. You know, Jeff Long, whether he wanted to admit it or not, Bill Self, whether he wanted to admit it or not, they knew what Snoop Dogg was going to do, or at least had an idea of what Snoop Dogg and his group were going to do. And then they come out and they actually do it on James Naismith's court at Allen Fieldhouse. And even though you know the reputation Snoop Dogg has, and you know what sort of, you know, environment happens at a Snoop Dogg concert, you still can't believe it's in front of your eyes at the most hallowed ground in college basketball. It's truly incredible that it happened, and I feel blessed that I got to experience it, honestly, because we truly will never see anything like that again. Like, that's,
yeah, I mean, it was completely surreal.
It'll never happen.
And I think what made it even worse was just the fact that, you know, obviously the FBI trial had finished not too long before that. Like, all of the, you know, and Kansas was, if I remember correctly, they were still waiting on the notice of allegations to come out. Like, there was rumblings that they were obviously going to get something, but it was just like, you know, like, we were waiting for that shoe to drop. And for that to happen while you're waiting, you know, while the NCAA is putting together the notice of allegations, it's almost like you're daring them to up the charges or to make it as worse, you know, as bad as possible. Even if that wasn't the intention, like, it reads that way. And obviously, you know, Snoop is just going to be Snoop. Like, as he said in his interview afterwards, like, you know, you pay for Snoop, you're going to get Snoop. And I don't think anybody who, you know, went into that was really too shocked by what he did. It was just the context that it was there, you know. And I mean, it was absolutely, I like, you know, iconic. It was a great, like, I guess, way to drum up a whole bunch of interest. But I think what even compounded it wasn't even the fact that he did it. Because if he had done it and they had just been, you know, like, oh, you know what? I mean, it was entertainment. You know, maybe he did some things that we weren't really aware or we didn't realize were going to happen. But you know what? He was there to entertain the fans. It was obviously, you know, fake money. Like, they could talk about how it was fake money, all that stuff, like, if they were really that worried about it. But then to come out with the apology and, you know, talk about how they weren't expecting any of this, it's like, you could say the same things, but say it in a completely different way that wouldn't make it sound like you either are clueless and weren't paying attention to what was going on, or that you were intentionally trying to make a statement, but then trying to walk it back because you were afraid of, you know, what the fallout was going to be from it. Like, there was definitely a much better way to handle that. And I think that's almost kind of the secondary story. It's not even necessarily what Snoop did. But it was the reaction that the administration had to it afterwards, and people started to comment on it.
I'm right there with you 100%. And look, I mean, yeah, is it potentially a bad look if you've got all this going on with the FBI investigation and all of that, and you're coming out and you've got the money gun shooting at the players and stuff? Like, does that look bad? Yeah, to a degree it does. But if you just come out and say, like, hey, look, you know, we wanted to have fun. It was fun. Maybe not what we expected, but, you know, it is what it is. Then whatever. I mean, it blows over right away. But to come out and have this big, grandiose apology and, you know, to have to change the apology, too, because of that hysterical acrobatic dancers line, which wasn't even changed in time. So that's the press release that ended up on ESPN for everyone to see. Like, it just was a horrible disaster in terms of, you know, I guess crisis management is the phrase, but it didn't need to be a crisis in the first place. Like, it really didn't need to be as big as it was. It was funny, but it didn't need to be like a, you know, some sort of horrible disaster like Jeff Long seemed to kind of try to turn it into.
Right. The crisis management turned it into was more of a crisis than the actual event that, you know, they thought they had managed. So, yeah, I mean, that was definitely extremely memorable. I don't know that it's necessarily my favorite just because of all the schadenfreude that, you know, surrounded it, but it was definitely entertaining. And obviously, like, the pictures that came out of the actual performance were absolutely fantastic. And I'm going to enjoy that. I'm trying to think if I have a way to go back and watch it, but I went back and watched it a couple months later at one point. I might have to go ahead and break that out again after this episode airs.
Gravity had a good run, but it's time to feel the weightlessness of the Brooks Glycerin 21. These running shoes feature nitrogen-infused DNA Loft V3 cushioning. Brooks has even magnified the plushness to elevate the softness to new levels. And if you want extra support, find these same features in the Brooks Glycerin GTS 21. Learn more and shop now at brooksrunning.com. That's brooksrunning.com.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
And we've got Mike Plank, the editor-in-chief over at Rock Chalk Talk. Mike, final question for you. What is your, other than football or basketball, what other moment from KU athletics or surrounding Kansas would be kind of the thing that sticks out to you the most, either a favorite moment or the most memorable thing from the season?
Well, Andy, I think that's kind of a difficult question. There wasn't, as you kind of look around, there wasn't a lot of success in some of the other sports. I know women's basketball struggled again. I think they won a few games late, but I think in general we were pretty down on the program yet again. Baseball was off to a slow start this year. Women's volleyball really struggled this past year. So my nomination for this category is I'm actually going to nominate the softball team. Who had a bit of a slow start this spring, and yeah, their season's been canceled, and they're not going to have a conference tournament or an NCAA tournament or any of that stuff. But they're off to a 500 start in, I think, 26 games, and they run ruled number 20 James Madison in mid-February in 5 innings. So I'm going to go with that as my non-basketball, non-football highlight.
Yeah, that's one that I hadn't heard yet. But also kind of talking about the success that they had, if I remember correctly, I believe that they had a player on the second team All-American squad.
I did see that as well.
And so,
you're absolutely correct.
Yeah, even though the team didn't have a lot of success, it would cause a lot of people to take notice. You know, there were at least individual standouts on the team, and individuals that looked like they were going to have very good seasons that were going to get recognized and ended up getting recognized in the shortened season. It'll definitely be interesting to see who all comes back. I imagine that most of the players that are able to will find a way to get back, and assuming that there's no long-term financial ramifications for it. But it'll be interesting to see how those spring sports are able to bounce back after having this season canceled, and who is all able to stick around and how they get all that figured out. The only other program was actually one that one of our other contributors had talked about, would be the soccer team that ended up winning the Big 12 tournament, going to the NCAA tournament, and actually showing out decently well there. Didn't make it super far, but made it far enough to think that they really accomplished something this year. And they were a good team all year long as well.
You're absolutely right. I completely forgot about soccer. That's a good one too. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of success record wise throughout the rest of the athletic program, but I thought there was definitely a lot of other programs that were worth mentioning in terms of things that they have potentially done. And I hadn't even thought about the softball one, so I'm really glad that you pointed that one out. And I'm joined again by David Potter, senior editor over at Rock Chalk Talk. David, your favorite or most memorable non-football, non-basketball moment. So anything else surrounding the university, what do you got for me?
Yeah, I'll admit to not following the other sports quite as closely. And this is maybe borderline between whether you'd call it this past year or the year before. But Bryce Hopple winning both the individual national championship in both the indoor and outdoor 800 meter was the thing that really jumped to mind for me. We've had a decent amount of track and field success in recent years, but anytime you can get someone, winning a national championship in two different events, or, the indoor and outdoor version of the same event, that's a pretty big deal. I think it's probably, if you count it as this most recent year, that's probably the biggest individual accomplishment for any player outside of the main two sports.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely some other ones in contention in track and field. Dudarev, I forget his first name, Glenn, I believe it is, you know, the shot put for Kansas. This was just recently, this last year, in the kind of beginning of the season. And I believe that was actually related to him trying out for the Olympics, if I remember correctly. But you're right. Like Hopple won both of those. I think the final one came in the summer, you know, of the 2019 season, but it was after, you know, the end of the last academic year. So I'm going to go ahead and allow it. I have absolutely no problem with that. And to be honest, the entire point of this question is to highlight the other things that go on around Kansas athletics. You know, we spend a lot of time here talking about football and basketball, but the idea is to, you know, we like to cover everything else as much as we possibly can. And so shining the light on that, you're actually the first person to talk about track and field as their thing. So I'm definitely happy that you were able to come up with that one. You know, he forewent his last year of eligibility. So he was not actually running for them this season before, you know, COVID-19 shut everything down. But it was still, like you said, a good accomplishment, a big accomplishment that happened within the last year. So I'm glad that we were able to go ahead and recognize it. And I'm joined again by Steve Fetch, our basketball editor over at Rock Chalk Talk. Fetch, what is the most memorable thing or your favorite moment or whatever, you know, that didn't happen on the basketball court or on the football field this year?
Yeah, so for me, it's Kansas winning the Big 12 soccer championship. You know, came in as the 5 seed in the regular season and had a pretty good run there in the non-conference, and then obviously was just kind of a middling team in the Big 12, but started out with that 2-0 win over West Virginia in the quarterfinals, and then in the semifinals beating the number one team in the Big 12 in overtime, in double overtime, excuse me, and then beating TCU 1-0 in the Big 12 title game, and then they made a little mini run in the NCAA tournament as well, but the Big 12 championship, you know, stands out for me. I think that I know I specifically am guilty of probably not paying enough attention to the non-revenue sports, except for, you know, when they get really good. I mean, everyone got swept up by the volleyball team a couple of years ago when they went to the Final Four, and then, you know, didn't hear too much about them this year when they weren't as good. But I'd like to, you know, now that sports have been canceled entirely, it really kind of hammers home how much I really enjoy watching all sports and not, you know, not just college basketball. So, you know, when they come back, I'm going to do my best to try to, you know, pay more attention to them than I did, whether that be soccer or baseball or track and field or whatever. But yeah, just to, you know, tie it all together, I guess the performance that they had in that Big 12 championship, really impressive, really fun to watch them. They were on TV and you know, I'll watch basically anything KU athletics related, regardless of what sport it was. But the way they played, you know, Katie McClure with her great season, you know, capped it off with a tremendous Big 12 tournament. And obviously Sarah Peters in goal was a wall. I mean, there were several times, and I'm no soccer expert by any means, but there were several times in the second half there where TCU was threatening and had some really nice, you know, opportunities and shots on goal, and a lesser goalie probably would have let him in, but she didn't. And so that was just really fun to watch. And so that's the moment that stood out to me more than anything else.
Joined again by Andrew Doty of the High Motor Podcast. Andrew, either favorite or most memorable moment from Kansas athletics this year that wasn't directly related to like on-field football or on-the-court basketball?
It's semi-related to what I'm thinking of as semi-related on-court basketball, because ultimately that's where this will affect. But this is something that bounces around my head all the time, is who would replace this coach? Not even a coach that's on the hot seat, but I always sit there and think, like, even when I was going to Kansas, I would think, what if Bill Self left for another job? Like, who would come in and replace him? And for so long, I think that was Danny Manning, in my opinion. Whether or not that actually would have happened, I don't know. But it really started bubbling with the FBI stuff, with the Christian Dawkins stuff and all that. And it got to a point of where I started really, really thinking about it. And it happened like in two phases. So in phase one was when Seth Greenberg says, my prediction is that Bill Self will go to the Spurs after the season. Obviously, that's not happening. I don't know if it will happen in the future. And then, you know, what were to happen if something, you know, particularly bad comes out from these wiretaps that Jeff Long would have no recourse, he'd have to fire Bill Self. And I started thinking about this, and maybe you can, you know, give your two cents too, is honestly, who would Kansas target? And it became this overwhelming thing in my head where I was thinking about it every single day. And my answer is, I don't have a damn clue who they would target. I mean, I think you can sit here and say, like, yeah, you have to call Jay Wright. Yeah, you have to call, Tony Bennett. You have to call Brad Stevens. You have to call Mark Few. I don't know if any of those four guys would say yes. And then you get down to, I actually wrote about this on Heroesports.com too. You get down to like Chris Mack, maybe call like Buzz Williams, Chris Beard, Kevin Willard. The thing that sticks out to me is that you have one of the three best jobs in college basketball. I think there is actually an argument it's the best job in college basketball, in my opinion, because you're not following, in the case of North Carolina, in the case of Duke, you're not following, specifically in the case of Coach K, you're not following a guy that's been there for 30 years. I think that makes the replacement to Bill Self a little bit easier, maybe. But the thing is, you have a top three job in college basketball, and I don't know who you would hire. I mean, this isn't like an obvious situation where you go grab this guy or that guy or this guy. So let me ask you, actually, who would they hire if Bill Self were to be gone tomorrow? That's what I just can't figure this out at all.
Yeah, honestly, I'm not sure who they would. I mean, I can think of some people that potentially, I think they probably would have to kind of go off the wall and kind of do. The one thing that I will say for Kansas is that they have not been afraid of picking a guy that you wouldn't necessarily think of to replace and have wonderful success because of just how good the job is. Because like you're saying, it's mm-hmm. one of the best jobs. But if you think about it, every single person that they've hired, maybe not every single, but everyone that I can remember anyway, were people that were not already big names, right? They came and they really got on the scene and really kind of showed what they were here at Kansas. Because Roy Williams, you know, yeah, he was an up and coming guy, but he had not established himself as a head coach. Bill Self, he was being successful at Illinois, but most people didn't know who he was. You really only knew about him if you were really paying attention to what Kansas was doing. And so Kansas has had a very, very good track record of being able to grab guys and identify who they need, you know, who they can actually turn into a really good coach. And so it was definitely good, to kind of see that. And like you were saying, there's not the pressure of having a guy who's so revered, who is like the guy for the program. Following after Coach K is going to be a big deal for whoever has to do it because K wasn't there for so long. Roy Williams coming home to North Carolina and being such a high level coach for them, it's going to be difficult to replace him. You know, they're going to have to deal with the specter of him being there. Just like he's had to, deal with the specter of Dean Smith. And so, Kansas doesn't have that. You know, like Bill Self has been probably one of the most successful coaches at Kansas in a really, really long time. But he's not like born and bred a Kansas guy, huge, huge, in the Kansas lore. Like he's good or he has been the big deal at Kansas because of what he's done here at Kansas. And there's a confidence, I think, in Kansas fans that they will be able to find someone. Now, you may not necessarily have the confidence in Jeff Long being the guy to do it, but it's hard to imagine that they are going to strike out in finding a coach. They have the donor base. They have the people surrounding the program that would mutiny if Jeff Long were to go hire his pet coach that actually couldn't stand up to the job. So I'm not super worried about it, but you're right. I have no idea who that would actually be.
And that's going to do it for this final episode of this season. It's been a great season. My non-revenue sport moment, I think you guys have heard it a couple times already. It was the soccer team, and so I've already talked a bunch about it. I don't want to go ahead and do it again. I don't really have a list of other moments that were really kind of worth talking about. The only other one that I think is even worth mentioning is KU's response to the notice of allegations. Obviously, the whole David Beatty trial thing is not really something that you want to deal with. That would be kind of the biggest negative one, but that one is still playing out as we speak, so it's kind of hard to speak to what's going on there, just because the team or the administration is still kind of dealing with the fallout of that. The only thing you can say about that situation right now is that both them and David Beatty look absolutely ridiculous, and there has to be something else going on as to why they haven't already settled this outside of court. But in terms of the notice of allegations, the fact that Kansas responded so strongly and is fighting these charges as strong as they possibly can, I think a lot of that has to do with just how much the NCAA has come after Kansas and Bill Self, especially, you know, trying to make an example out of somebody. This actually ties in with one of our episodes that's going to be in our summer series. It's already been recorded, but you guys are going to enjoy this one at the end of next week. Talking about a former coach, not a Kansas coach, but a former national college basketball coach who dealt with his own troubles with the NCAA. And we're kind of getting a sneak peek now behind the curtain there to see just how unfair the process can be and how ridiculous the NCAA can go after people when they feel like they've been disrespected. So, but I will save that for that time. But I would say that Kansas's response to the notes allegations is probably one of the biggest things that isn't actually tied to on the court performance or on the field performance this year. So, but that will do it for this episode and for the season. I really appreciate all you guys that have listened. You know, we've had a fairly steady stream of people listening to the podcast, and you know, to be honest, it's a lot more like than I had envisioned when I originally started. You know, I originally thought I'd be doing this for like, you know, 20 to 30 people that were probably readers of the site, you know, that were commenters, and kind of just throw it out there and see what people thought. This was originally when I started this kind of a way for me to start talking about all the things that I wanted to talk about, but that I never had time to write about. I do find it a lot easier, I think, to get my thoughts out when I'm talking about them rather than trying to put it down to page. And, you know, I admire all the work that the journalists do, you know, especially the people that come on the podcast. Like, I really enjoy all the work that they put together. And while I enjoy the writing that I do, both here and in the other, or both at Rock Chalk Talk and the other places like Land Grant Gauntlet, I am definitely appreciative of having this outlet to share my thoughts with you guys. You know, kind of talk through all the things that are driving me crazy. And just the fact that we have so many people that do listen to this, I really do appreciate it. So we will be having some changes coming up in the podcast here over the summer. Obviously, the whole COVID-19 situation is affecting a lot of people. You know, a lot of people that I've worked with in the past who are no longer working with me. I don't want to get into a lot of that stuff here, but I will just say that, you know, a lot of things, I'm kind of reevaluating where we are with a lot of things, and I'm trying to find ways to change up the podcast to, one, make it fresh for all those that have been listening for a long time, but also to go ahead and see how we can push this forward, to grow the listenership, to bring you guys new and exciting things. So be paying attention to the podcast, Twitter and everything kind of surrounding that. But like I said before, we will be having regular episodes over the summer. The plan right now is to try to do 2 a week. That may drop down to 1 a week, kind of depending on where things are going. You know, and obviously if this lockdown ever gets lifted, you know, there may be kind of a break here and there just to kind of recharge. But I definitely enjoy this. I enjoy all the people enjoying the work that I'm putting out here. And so I just wanted to take a couple minutes to tell you guys how much I appreciate you guys and how much I appreciate having this outlet to share all these thoughts with you guys. But with that, we will go ahead and end this episode, end season 4 of the Rock Chalk Podcast. If you guys haven't already, please go out wherever you get your podcast, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, any of the other million apps that are out there. You can search for Rock Chalk Talk, so you can subscribe to the podcast there. If you can give us a rating and a review as well, 5 stars, nice comments, it'd be absolutely great. It does help to get the podcast out there to get you, you know, to get more people listening so that we can try to do more with this podcast. If you have any comments, questions, suggestions, people you want to try to interview, anything like that, you can contact me by email at rockchalkpodcast@gmail.com or on Twitter at rockchalkpod. But that'll do it. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we will catch you guys next time on the Rock Chalk Podcast.